Good morning. Welcome to EMP this morning on this Friday. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we know this passage well. Philippians 2. We'll read verses 3 to 8. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. It says this from the NASB, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the example that you've shown, God. And we know that the example that you are is the key to life. And Father, we just pray that you just fill us with your word and your presence this morning. God, bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Philippians 2, we know it very well, but the awesome thing about Scripture is every time you read something, you learn things that maybe you've never seen before, or God speaks to you even in greater depths, and the Scriptures are just incredibly deep. And for this purpose, at verse 3, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." We can just stop right there. The default mode of most of our lives, including myself, is I primarily act out of my own interests and my own selfishness. And so if I have a decision between, you know, doing plan A or plan B, my framework or my filter is, okay, how is it going to benefit me? And right here in verse 3, right away it says, "Do nothing from selfishness." In other words, do everything for other people. That is the primary default mode. However, as we examine our lives, I think we would be in agreement that most of us, we do things first for ourselves, second for others. First, we want to take care of myself, and then I'll take care of somebody else. You know, it's the whole idea of an airplane when, you know, the oxygen masks are being brought down. You know, make sure you do yours first and then do someone else's next. And there's reasoning behind that, and there's good reasoning behind that. However, in our lives, that's not how the Bible tells us to live. A lot of times we want to take care of ourselves before we take care of others because we rationalize, well, how can I help others if I don't take care of myself first? And if you go deeper, you know, Paul is saying, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. It's not saying don't take care of yourself, but your first thoughts ought not to be yourselves, but it ought to be others. If you look at the life of Christ, he came, his first thoughts were not for himself, but it was for others, for his disciples, for the world, for salvation, for seeking the lost and those things. And that's the example of Christ. And so right away, as I look at verse 3, it's like, wow, I need to change that. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. NIV translates it as vain conceit. And that idea is that conceit is that we are better than others or special, more special than others. And Paul's saying, don't even think that. Don't operate out of that idea that I'm more special than others, that I deserve. It's this idea of entitlement. It's like when we bargain, you know, in a store for prices and things like that, the underlying attitude is, well, you should give me a discount because I deserve it, or I'm more special than, you know, the price or whatever. So, you know, give me a good discount. Are we unique? Absolutely. Are we special in God's eyes? Absolutely. But we are not more special than others. And as it continues, "But with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself." Notice that Paul is not saying that other people are better, that one person is better than another. Rather, he's saying you need to regard others as better, treat others as better and more important than yourselves. And so if you're to imagine a celebrity or an athlete or a movie star coming over to your house for dinner, how would you treat that person? You would treat that person with respect. And so Paul is saying, don't just do it with celebrities or people of high position of power. Treat everyone like that. Let each of you regard one another as more important. Treat them that way. Regard them one another. And then verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And if we're to sort of reflect on ourselves, are we living out this principle that Paul is saying? Do not merely look out for yourself, but also for the interests of others. Are we constantly looking out for the interests of others? You know, are we constantly, you know, and this is not a sort of a people-pleasing attitude. It's not a dysfunction of your psyche of, okay, you have to please people. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, are you looking out for other people's good interests? It doesn't mean you have to be the one that has to fulfill those things. It's not a people-pleasing thing, but it's get your eyes off of yourself and look to the interests of others. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. I came across an interesting story of a man who was really sick and had to go to the doctor's office, and he went with his wife. The doctor examined him, ran some tests, and then the wife had to wait in the reception area for the results. The doctor came out with a very concerned look on his face, and the wife became very anxious. And she asked the doctor, will my husband be okay? And the doctor said, well, I'm afraid your husband is very ill. He has a rare form of anemia, and if it's left untreated, he will most certainly die. However, there is a cure, and there is something that will help. And she asked, there's a cure? And the doctor said, yes. Well, with rest, proper nutrition, the disease will go into remission, and your husband will live for many years. But here's what you need to do to make that happen. You need to take your husband home and treat him like a king. You need to fix him 3 home-cooked meals a day, wait on him hand and foot, bring him breakfast in bed. Don't let him do anything that you can do for him. If he needs something, you need to take care of it. Give him a back rub in the morning and a full body massage every evening. Oh, and there's one more thing. Because his immune system is now weak, you'll need to keep your home spotless at all times. Do you have any questions? Wife had none. So the doctor asked, should I break the news to your husband or do you want to do that? And the wife said, I will break the news. So she walked into the examining room, and the husband, sensing that something was very wrong, said, it's bad, isn't it? So what have I got? The wife answered with a tear in her eye. The doctor said, you're going to die. In other words, she's not willing to do these things to keep him alive because it's too much work or for whatever reason. But the illustration here for this kind of semi non-humorous story apparently is that that Jesus showed us the example of doing that by serving others, and it opens up a way for abundant life for others. That Jesus served others, and it opened a way for abundant life for others. And so the question is, as we reflect our lives upon Christ, do we turn our backs towards people because it's inconvenient? Jesus, you know, had boundaries, but he was always in thinking of other people. So basically when we turn our backs, to others, we're basically saying, too bad, you're going to die, in reference to this story. But for true love and true servanthood, it requires action. And that's the example that Jesus gave us as we continue in verse 5, that the attitude should be that of which is Christ Jesus. That he who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. And so here's the attitude of Christ, and it's the same attitude that Paul is pointing out, and he's reemphasizing that, is that you need to do nothing out of your own selfishness, do nothing out of vain conceit or empty conceit, but consider others better than yourselves and treat them. Don't merely look out for yourself, but look out for the interests of others. And if you look at Christ's example and his humility, he never pulled rank. Do you realize that as you examine the life of Christ? He never pulled rank. He never said, look, I am God, so therefore you must do this and that. He never pulled rank. And he never said, since I am God's son, you must treat me like royalty. You must treat me as such. But what he did was he laid down his rights. And he was constantly serving people. And so you've got the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, putting down his rights. And I know when we interact with people, there are frustrating people out there, and that's the truth. But as you think of the attitude of Christ, Christ put down his rights of a superior, humbled himself to be on the same level as the inferior and served them. And so the Creator constantly was submitting himself to his creation. In fact, how far did he submit himself to creation? Where he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, even death on a cross. I mean, he could have came down from that cross and saved himself, but he would rather humble himself and die to save the world. And so that's the heart of a servant. And as we prepare for worship, I just want to, in our devotion this morning, to see the words of Paul, to see the attitudes of Christ, and reflect ourselves as we are walking along the way, that this is the attitude of Christ. If we can humble ourselves and come before people and think not only in regards to our own interests, but also to look out to the interests of others, that we would be imitating Christ. And so let's reflect that. Let's bow our heads this morning as we reflect on the attitude of Christ and the words of Paul. As you examine your heart, as you look at yourself, are you operating from a place where it is me first, others second? Or is it others first and me second? Now, if that's confusing, then let's just look to the example of Christ and how he lived his life and how he humbled himself as the Creator to his own creation. And he humbled himself even to death. There are many instances that I know, God, I'm going to just have to die. Die to myself so that I can serve this other person. And it's difficult, it's challenging. And so let's ask the Lord God, give me the strength to serve my sisters, my brothers, even when it's difficult. So Lord, we asked of that this morning. God, as we go to our workplaces, to our families, to the stores, running errands, God, help us to carry the attitude of Christ. That as we continue to live this life that you've given us, that we would be a reflection of that. That people would be able to see Christ because of our humility. So God, help us.
Set apart for you, my master.
Just so moved by verse 3 and 4, do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit. Could it be said of us that we are the most selfless people that people know, that your friends know, that people, can it be said that we reflect Christ, or is it said of us that we are the most selfish people that people know? So let's go before the Lord and let's pray for others. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those. Let's think of them. Let's think of others and their interests. And for those who are sick with cancer, let's lift them up in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to heal them. Let's ask the Lord to give them grace and their families. Let's pray for those with cancer, not only just those on the screen, but also those loved ones that you know. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who are ill, but also need Jesus to find salvation. So let's lift them up and pray for them, ask for healing, and that God would open their eyes to see the Lord for who He is. And so let's pray. Let's pray for those who have illnesses, and let's pray for the sick. Let's pray for the weak. Let's pray for those who are struggling, and let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's keep them in prayer and ask the Lord to provide quickly and to give them grace as they're sustaining through this challenging time. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our local ministries. Let's pray for the Lord to really touch those and bless those and use the ministries that are serving Hong Kong. So let's pray for our local ministries right now. Pray for the missions committee and ask the Lord to bring unity and give us direction, and as decisions are made, that we would be able to bless the world. So let's pray for the members there, for their families, and let's ask the Lord to guide and use them. Let's pray for our local outreach teams, for the community center, Agape, for the homeless ministry, SP Lights Prison, and Mother's Choice. Mother's Choice is sort of an orphanage that takes care of orphans, among other social issues. So let's pray for them, that they would be able to reach out our community, and pray for the leaders there and ministries there. So let's lift up local outreach. Pray for our Hong Kong government, and let's pray for the wealth gap that would shrink. Let's pray for just the strategic place that Hong Kong is, to be a gateway to China and to Asia. And let's lift up Hong Kong, that God would stir something in the hearts of people. Let's pray. Let's lift up our Friday activities. We've got IPT meeting. We've got the college group meeting, the river. We have Experiencing God classes going on. We've got McCain House Church. And so there's a lot going on today and this weekend. So let's just begin to lift up today's activities. Thank you, Lord God. We ask that you transform our hearts and that we would be selfless, that we would do nothing out of our selfishness. God, that we would take on the attitude of Christ as he humbled himself, Lord. And God, we want to lift up your people who are struggling, who need someone to intervene and intercede and stand in the gap for them, Lord. And so we just lift them up to you. God, we just pray that you would have mercy and extend your grace upon them. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would awaken our spirit, to awaken our souls, to see that you are alive in the midst of us, Lord, that you are at work. And Father, we just want to join you in that, Lord. So we thank you for this opportunity this morning. Give us new strength and new peace and new mercies this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you as you continue to seek his face, and we'll see you tomorrow.